So Mount Edgecombe's a little different than most of our schools in that it's a residential school, and so that comes directly from the state, and they've taken very good care of us on that end. Where we're struggling is where all the other schools are struggling with BSA. And if we don't get that fixed, you know, we're going to lose a lot of jobs, and that's going to be extremely painful.
And we're talking like half of the 32 teaching positions, possibly.
That's the worst case scenario, but that's what it looks like at present. And that, to me, is part of the problem, that we can't get answers from the legislator on raising this, so we don't know really what the picture is. That's the problem with the budget, is that it keeps, it's a moving target. They keep moving money around all these different funds, all these little Title This and BSA and GGU. Nobody understands what any of that means. We've got the commissioner and the deputy commissioner that have been helping us with this budget, and they've been great, and these ladies definitely know what they're talking about. And I can't get answers out of them. It's still word salad. It's like, why is the, I can tell you what the problem is. The problem is we've made school funding so opaque in this country that nobody can understand it. That's the source of the real problem, and nobody wants to pay. That's the problem. They don't want to raise the BSA, then I don't know what you do with half the teachers. How does that work?
Yeah,
I don't think that's going to work, Rob.
I'm here to ask you that, but I can. It's true, everything you're saying. It is It is very opaque, and it does tend to come down to the wire. A lot of it happens in the legislature, and I feel that's very mysterious to some people. But I think It is easy to understand that Mount Edgecombe has 420 students and a teaching staff of 32, and it's going to be extraordinarily difficult to maintain a level of educational outcome and service with 15 staff, or in I've heard the best case scenario is 17 teachers if the $680 BSA one-time BSA increase goes through.
We don't know. We're still trying to finagle it as best we can. Is the only, you know, answer to that question, because again, all these little buckets of money come with strings attached, and you're not quite sure what you can move around and what you can move for what, you know, use for what purpose. And so it's really hard to get a straight answer out of a budget.
Right.
But the bottom line is, if the BSA isn't increased, if House Bill 69 doesn't pass, you're looking at carnage throughout the state. I was fortunate when I went to go testify to talk to superintendents and representatives from school districts across the state. Fairbanks is looking at closing five schools. Five? I mean, this is not an unusual situation to Mount Edgecombe. Where we're unusual is that we don't have a municipality to come bail us out. We've got to go back to the state. And like I said, they very well understand the residential side of things, and they fund those pool of money, but it boils back down to BSA, how you pay teachers. And that comes from the BSA. How do you do sports travel? How do you actually pay salaries? That is all BSA.
And that's on the chopping block, sports travel.
That's right. We're looking at the current budget has zero.
Right.
So what's the point of a high school with no teachers, no sports, no cultural activities?
Will Mount Edgecombe close, conceivably?
I don't think so. I don't think that that's a realistic possibility. I don't think that the political powers that be, they probably understand that that is a disaster that they don't want to touch, because we have alumni in every voting district in the state. And I don't think they really want to drive us off a cliff. I don't think it'll shake out that way. But what I'm concerned about is, why are we here in the first place? Why does it get to critical mass all the time with teachers and school funding? I really am disturbed by that. We need a different, more transparent process.
I might have been so distracted by the Sitka school district's physical troubles last year that I wasn't paying attention to Edgecombe, but it seems like Edgecombe got through last year relatively unscathed. I know that there are currently like four vacated positions that weren't filled, but is Edgecombe kind of facing a catch-up situation? You're catching up to the crisis a little bit, you know, a year later than maybe Sitka faced it and some of these other schools?
That's very accurate. You know, we got some COVID money and some other funds that helped move us along until the current state. And now it's come to a head. So we were fortunate to, get through last year, but without the BSA increasing, we're in real trouble.
Is it really come down to BSA, or could the legislature? I mean, Mount Edgecombe is owned by the state.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it possible, or do you even consider some sort of just general fund appropriation to keep the school afloat, or would that be just so outside the realm of possibility that's not even being talked about?
I'm looking beyond what's going on at Mount Edgecombe, and I see this as a broader issue. The way we fund schools in this country is a scam that would make John Gotti blush. The way that funding is attached to all these different strings, these little pools of money that are ostensibly to make schools fair and operate, they do the opposite. They are the magician's trick. They are there to distract you while the man in the black hat walks out the back door with all the money. That's what's going on with education in this country. So you mentioned what it costs per teacher. What, $110,000,
right,
more or less?
With benefits.
Yeah, it depends on the teacher. They don't see half that money. About half that money goes into benefits that the teachers don't get unless they stick around long enough to hopefully collect a pension one day. But by then, they're so stressed out and their health is so shot, they're not going to collect for long if they ever make it to the finish line. And if you think that's not by design, you're crazy. Of course it's by design. These pension funds are the same thing as insurance companies. They want to collect premiums, but they don't want to pay out claims. It's the same thing with these pension funds. So these billion-dollar pension funds get managed by Wall Street cronies who all get to make money on it, and they cycle that back into the political system. But the people it's actually designed to help, no. It's a way to keep them entrapped in the system.
What about the fact that Edgecombe is in a more competitive boarding school environment nowadays? ANSEP just opened a boarding school. Mm-hmm. And I think you used to have, I don't know, maybe 50% more applicants than you could take at the school, mm-hmm. like 600 applicants for 400 spots,
yeah.
And now it's more like 450.
Yeah.
Is there something going on in boarding education that's making it more difficult to advocate for funding for Edgecombe?
I don't see that, no. And honestly, I welcome the competition. I think that residential schools are a great solution to some of the education challenges that we face across the nation. And that's how I got involved in Mount Edgecombe. That's why we decided to send our kids there. I see this residential model as a great solution for kids across the country that maybe come from environments that are not conducive to learning. And, you know, Johnny can't read a lot of times because he doesn't get fed, doesn't get good sleep, doesn't show up with a pencil and paper. And that's a major problem. And residential schools are a great solution to that. So I welcome more residential schools.
Travis, you were probably still in high school when this happened. I'm giving away my age here, but I remember when Governor Frank Murkowski mm-hmm. expanded the enrollment at Edgecombe, mm-hmm. I think by about 200 students,
mm-hmm.
and he got some money sent the way to improve the dorms, but mm-hmm. Everything you were saying just now was sort of happening at Edgecombe. They were getting improved test scores.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing a lot of things better than other schools. A lot of people felt because they were there
mm-hmm.
in school and they had a lot of structured time
right.
for both classes and for study. And then, the recreation is
right,
available.
Activities
are there, but always there's that study hall
yeah.
every evening. And, you know, three square meals a day.
You've got study hall time.
Yeah.
We've got counselors that live in the dorms with our students. So when they have mental health care needs or just need a shoulder to cry on, that's all available.
Yeah.
And I want to say, the residential side of school funding for Edgecombe is pretty solid. Those legislators fund that directly, and that works. But as far as paying teacher salaries, the people that actually educate our children, I feel like they're being extorted.
Tell me how you and the other advisory board members reacted when Sousa presented this budget to you. You felt
very sorry for her and,
right.
and the situation that she's in. And like I said, she's gotten a lot of support and help from the commissioner and the deputy commissioner, and we're extremely grateful. But the fact that you've got this number of people trying to do a budget and it's still word salad tells me that there's a fundamental problem. I don't see a problem of competencies or with an individual. This is a systemic problem with the way education is funded. It is opaque on purpose. It is meant to distract us. It's been said, I don't know if it's 100% accurate, but it's been said that we're last in education, but first in cost. So if that is true or close to true, where's the money going? Because it's darn sure not going to teachers who can't keep the heat on in their own homes and are having to buy school supplies. So where's that money going? And what's going on with these big pension funds where half their salary goes that they never seem to actually collect on? Where is all that money going? That's my question. If it's so expensive, but the teachers aren't getting it, where's the money going?
Is it time to rally the troops? I mean, the advisory board represents a spectrum of people who are involved in Edgecombe. You're the chair, you're the community seat, but there are other seats representing sort of other sectors of interest.
And sitting on other school boards.
Right. Are people reaching out to Edgecombe alumni to say, you know, if you want to stand up for your school, now is the time?
Yes, they are. And people need to be more organized. And I've been saying this for over a year now, is that I really don't see, look, I'm pro collective bargaining, but I honestly don't see where these teacher unions have helped the profession, because it's gone nothing but downhill for decades. And people need to organize on their own. And start demanding this money. Because for our government to tell teachers, cops, and firefighters that there's no money is just a lie. We can build a $100 million road out Cat Leanne to a bunch of land that politicians in the tribe owns, but we can't fund teachers? That is a lie. Here's how I know this. My background is in the military-industrial complex.
Yeah, this was I was going to ask you this. How you...
Okay, I managed a half billion, that's billion with a B, personal services contract for the Army Materiel Command. That money was specially appropriated by Congress, and personal services contracts are very touchy. So those contracts, I had to account for every penny, and I could walk you through that budget in about 15 minutes, and a high school junior could understand the budget. You could do it on a spreadsheet. But when you got into these programs like Apache Longbow upgrades, which is a weapon system upgrade, oh, that's very different. That budget is, you need a forensic auditor just to tell you how much money's in the account. They are very opaque. And if you start poking around in the wrong areas, they tell you, oh, you can't ask those questions. And I get the same thing at the school. As the advisory board president, I'm told all the time, can't ask that question, can't say that. We can't give you that. It's HR information. We can't do that. So anytime you actually want to solve a problem, you can't actually get the answers to do so. And that's not done nefariously by the administration. That's done by all these different funds and the strings that come attached to that money. It's built to make you not ask questions. And it's built to make you accept that this is the reality of how school funding works. And I think that's nonsense. And I hear this all the time. Well, we got to think outside the box. No, you don't. You got to realize there is no box. We need to rebuild this thing from the ground up. And this is where we have opportunity. From all this chaos, there is great opportunity to expose how ridiculous this process is and actually fix it. Because let me tell you, it makes everybody miserable. It makes the teachers, it makes the administrators, it makes the legislators, it makes the governor, it makes everybody nuts on how we are doing this. Let's stop and let's reimagine how we can do school funding. That's the opportunity, and that's what people need to mobilize around. Because this problem is never going to get any better unless we fundamentally change it. Honestly, that's how I feel. And digging into these problems, they don't have clear answers. Very smart people who are working very earnestly and hard can't give you straight answers. And that is a fundamental structural problem. And like I said, because of my background, it tells me right away, there's a scam. Pure and simple.
Travis, how did you become interested and involved in Mount Edgecombe High School?
Well, my wife and I have been very involved community members here in Sitka for the last 15 years. You know, we started the flag football program. It's now evolved into a little tackle program. We coached and we did fundraisers and we were involved in the school. And When your children go to a residential school, it's not set up that way because the vast majority of the student population, their parents live maybe 1,000 miles away. So it's not geared for that. And just as a parent that's used to being involved, I had to do something. And so position opened up for community representation on the board, and I applied. And then last November, I got voluntold to be president of the board. I was elected by the other board members. And so now I started running the meetings the way I want to run them, and I started asking some questions, and you find out that there's not really answers.
And you have children at Edgecombe?
Yes. Our oldest graduated co-valedictorian last year, and our youngest graduates this May, and has podiumed twice in state wrestling. And I don't want to say exactly where his academic rank is. It's up at the top. We're hoping he can... he's taken some really tough AP classes, and we're hoping he can finish first or second.
All right. Yeah, Edgecombe had good wrestling success this year.
We had great wrestling success this year, part of which I paid for, by the way, because we didn't have the money.
Yeah, I heard there's not even gas money to send kids into town in the van.
We're not sure how much money we have and don't have, and that is a real problem because, again, I see the Superintendent Suzuki very earnestly working on this, and I see her getting a lot of support from the deputy commissioner, who is a very smart lady, and they can't figure this out. There's your problem. When you have earnest, smart people doing their best, and they struggle to be transparent and give you straight answers because of the way the system is designed, and they're not sure what they can say or not say, or what they can use the money for or not use the money for, you have a structural, fundamental problem. You should not need a forensic accountant to do a school budget. That is ridiculous. That's fundamental. And it highlights at Edgecombe because we're so different, because we're a residential school and an academic traditional school. So it makes our budget problems, it's a one-off that nobody quite knows how it works. That's a problem.
Anything else, Travis?
In chaos, there's opportunity. And I also want people to understand that part of the system that they're trapped in is encouraging them to turn against each other. And what I encourage teachers and administrators across the state to do is it's time to be the oxen in winter. It's time to lock horns, form a circle, put our kids in the middle of it, and stand shoulder to shoulder. The problems that you face are not the people you work with. They're not your administrators. They're not even the legislators. They're not even the governor. It's a structural, fundamental problem. And like I said, it's a scam that would make John Gotti blush, and I sincerely mean that.
Thanks for coming in. It's been a pleasure talking to you today.
You bet. Thank you very much.